Hello and welcome to the Crowd Resource Podcast. Listen and be blessed. Hey, welcome to this episode of the Crowd Resource Podcast. This episode, we're going to be talking about why quiet time. Why is it so important? Why is quiet time so important? The previous episode, we talked about what is quiet time. And like we explained earlier, quiet time is a you alone time with God. And understanding the importance of it will help you better enjoy the benefits of this, of it, because the quiet time is not, it's not for God. It's not to make God better. It's for us. Okay. Just to solidify our relationship with God, basically. So, why is quiet time so important? And let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We receive clarity and understanding as we look into your word. We ask that you help us and uphold us and guide us and cause us to be doers of your word. Cause us to be blessed by the ministry of your word today. Amen. So let us look at John 3 verse 16. John 3 verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, according, now you see, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And my emphasis from this scripture is everlasting life. The ultimate gift that God wanted to give us. That God counted as a solution to the problem of the sin of humanity. To the problem of the fall of man was everlasting life, eternal life. And this is the life that we receive when we come to the Lord, when we receive him as our Lord, when we become born again. That is what it means to be born again. To be born again is to be, is to receive a new life, a new spiritual life, is to be renewed. You know, it's a renewal of your life, of your spiritual man, basically. That's what it means to be born again. And just to be born of the Spirit, that means your spirit is born anew. Spirit becomes a new person, a new personality, and eternal life is so important, you know, as you can see, because if God would give his only begotten son so that by believing in him we can have eternal life, then it must be so important. And you can see also from the scripture that the opposite of eternal life is to perish. So what God wanted for us as people is he didn't want us to perish. So to save us from eternal damnation, from eternal perishing, he decided to give unto us the gift of everlasting life. Bible says in John 17 verse 3, it says this is eternal life. And this, it means to know, to perceive, to recognize, the amplified version now, and become acquainted with and understand you, the only true and real God. This is Jesus talking here and praying, and he's saying, he's defining eternal life. He's saying, this is eternal life. So, if we want to ask, oh, what is eternal life? This is eternal life. It means to know. To become acquainted, to have an understanding of God, to recognize God as the only true and real God. So it takes eternal life. It takes eternal life for a man to recognize God. Not just as the only true God, because he reads further down, and to know him, that is Jesus Christ, the anointed one, that is the Messiah, whom he has sent. So it says eternal life is to know God, okay, as the only true and real God. Yeah, a lot of people know that. Even demons know that. And to also know him, to also know his son, the anointed one, to know him, the Messiah, okay, to know him as the Messiah, to know him as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. Because that is eternal life. And so it is very paramount that we understand that why would Jesus explain eternal life as knowledge, as the knowledge of God, as perceiving and recognizing God and understanding God. Okay, and not just God, but also like knowing his only his Son as well. So if God would give his only begotten Son, so that we can have eternal life, then eternal life would be to know him as the only true God, and to not just know him, to also know his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is why the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. A carnal man would find it difficult to understand and comprehend the reality of God, especially in the facts of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And that's why eternal life is to have the Spirit of God that enables us to be able to reason at the level of God, to reason at the frequency of God, basically, so that the things that are of God are not vague, they are not they're not ambiguous for us to comprehend, basically. Now, if God would send his only begotten Son, like I said earlier, to give us this access to knowledge of him, then it means that he prioritizes it. He prioritizes knowledge. And he knows that this knowledge of him, us coming to knowledge of him, would benefit us. And so, knowing God is an answer to the unending thirst and hunger in our heart. There's a yearning in our heart. There's a thirst in our heart. The psalmist says, my soul, as a deer pants after the water, Psalms 42, my soul longs after you. My soul thirsts for you. And so our soul, the soul of an average human being, thirsts for something, feels empty about life. That is why a lot of people go and make a mistake of amassing wealth and, you know, getting lots of things together, and they still feel empty on the inside. All right. And the reason why it is so is because they are looking in the wrong direction to satisfy their thirst, to quench their thirst and their hunger. Now, knowing God is an answer to the unending thirst and hunger in our hearts. You know, there's a thirst, like I said earlier, for God, and people just keep drowning in a feeling of emptiness, and they lose themselves in trying to fill up that void, and they just drown because they are looking in the wrong direction. It is Christ that has the accurate knowledge of God. It is, you know, what people are looking for is the knowledge of God, basically. It's the knowledge of God, because the knowledge of God is salvation. It is in knowing God as a Father. As a Father, and not just as a Father, as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true knowledge that satisfies the soul. And so it is in Christ that we can have the satisfying knowledge of God that brings rest to our soul. It's in Christ that we have the satisfying knowledge of God that brings rest to our soul. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, you know, he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it's in Christ that we can come to a satisfying knowledge of God. It is when we understand God through Christ Jesus that we can better have a deep and intimate knowledge of God. And that intimate knowledge is eternal life. To come to the Father, in John 14 verse 6, that Jesus was saying, is to come to an intimate relationship and knowledge of him. Okay. And Jesus is speaking here with so much authority and assertion. He's saying with all, you know, with all that he is, with all his mouth, that there is no substitute. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And we only correctly come to the Father if we come through the Son. And coming to the Son is a journey that begins with believing in him as your Savior. Okay? And when you believe in him as your Savior, you also believe him as the one God sent to save you by dying for your sins. And after you believe this, you begin to pursue knowing the Lord immediately. It is as we increase in our knowledge of Him that we begin to grow spiritually. So what actually happens in the new birth is that when you become born again, there is an intimate knowledge of God that is supplied. You know, your spirit comes, since your spirit is now born, is now of his nature, is now joined with his spirit, your spirit knows the Lord. Your spirit has a knowing of the Lord. That's why the Bible was saying in Hebrews that it says that he will put the law in their hearts. So God was saying he will put the law in their hearts. And so there's a knowledge of God that is put in you, like your spirit man knows God. Okay, and so that spirit man, but then your mind has to receive that knowledge. Your mind, that is what some people call the renewal of the mind. Your mind has to come to the level of your spirit. And so that is what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is a continuous bringing up of your mind to be transformed into the image of your spirit. Or better still, the transforming of your soul into the image of your spirit. That is what happens in spiritual growth. So that the reality of the new creation, the reality of your new nature becomes more evident in your conduct and your speech, basically. And so what I'm saying here is there is a knowledge of God. There's a capacity to know God that is given unto a man. So the knowledge is given to you in his spirit. That's why John was saying that you know all things because you have the unction from the Holy One, and that unction is the spirit in you. And so that spirit in you makes your inner man, your spirit man on the inside, know all things. And so that also comes with the ability for your mind to now comprehend the things of God. Okay, so the new creation mind has a soul that can comprehend the things of God, in essence, basically. Okay, so why did I have to go through all the hurdles to explain this? It's because it is important to God. Knowing God is important to God. Fellowshipping with God, having an intimate relationship with God, is the ultimate goal of God in salvation. And because when you have an intimate relationship with Him, you are going to be able to express the knowledge of Him that you have to other people. And He's going to like be able to express Himself through you to others. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so to know the Lord doesn't come without a price. Like I said earlier, knowing God, you know, now to know the Lord, now the knowing in this context I'm talking about is the knowing of your soul or of your mind, is the coming coming of your mind into an intimate knowledge of God. That will come at a price. It will cost you time. It will cost you some sacrificial consecration to communicate with God. There is no shortcut to knowing the Lord intimately. We have to spend quality time daily communicating with Him by reading the Word of God and praying. And this is why quiet time with God is the time that you spend alone with Him. It's the time where, you know, you hear His Word for you and He addresses issues in your life. And as you do that, you build a relationship with Him. You build a walk with Him. That is why your quiet time is important. You know, Apostle Paul, when we look at this journey and how we started in the Bible from Acts chapter 9, we'll see that he started with an encounter with Jesus. And that encounter kept driving him to constantly seeking an alone time with the Lord. And that caused him to spend the early years of his relationship with the Lord knowing Him before he, you know, even like went full-fledged ministering for the Lord. His encounter with Jesus caused him to be so passionate about knowing the Lord and sharing this knowledge with people and sharing the knowledge with people. See, so although in his early ministry, he began by, you know, prioritizing telling people about the Lord as much as, you know, knowing the Lord with all almost and this almost got him murdered. You know, when he was consumed by the zeal to share about this encounter that he had with Jesus and share with people, and this almost got him killed. And you know, what I'm saying is from Acts chapter 9, let's see, from verse 22 rather, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength, and you know, he confounded the Jews with blood at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ." And verse 23 says, "And after that many days were fulfilled, and you know, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and let him down the wall in a basket." I always laugh when I read this, because it's, you can see that Paul, you know, it's amazing. Salvation is powerful. And that's one of the things that I pray. I pray that this kind of encounter that Paul had with Jesus, that every soul hearing this word, and every soul on this earth, can get an opportunity to encounter Jesus this way. Whether through us, the church, or directly with you, Lord Jesus, that people can just come to an encounter with you like this. An encounter that makes someone whose heart was so hardened in the Lord, whose heart was so, you know, strong and so strong and hardened against the Lord, and caused him to be so transformed, to become someone who began to herald the gospel, and talk about the things of the Lord to the world and to the Jews, and so much so he was willing to risk his life for it, right? And the church had to send him away. But what I'm drawing out from here is that when Paul started out after his encounter with the Lord, he first prioritized serving the Lord over, you know, spending time with the Lord to know him more intimately. And this almost cost him his life. But much more, you know, he brought so much trouble to the church, and the church had to, you know, relocate him to Tarsus, and before there could be peace and increase in the church. When you look at Acts chapter 9 from verse 29, it says, "He spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Christians, but they went out to slay him." That's in Tarsus again. Which, when the brothers knew, they brought him down to Syria and sent him forth to Tarsus. Okay, so So that was, I think that was at Antioch, the verse 29. And after that, like, they had to take him all the way to Tarsus. And the Bible says that he had the churches, you know, and like after they did that, after they sent him forth to Tarsus, the church had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were multiplied. So Paul was an antagonizer. He was someone who was bringing trouble to the church. Then now he's changed. And then now he became someone who they were hunting. But then the church, they had to, you know, send him out to Tarsus to go and learn, to go and grow. Okay, and this is not to say that you are not qualified to share the gospel or minister the gospel to people after you got saved, like, say, a day-old believer. A day-old believer is qualified to share the gospel and lead other people to Christ. But that believer will be much more effective in his ministry as he spends more time with the Lord. Because then he will have an understanding of his purpose. He will have an understanding of how to fulfill his purpose in Christ. And then he will understand, like, the resources available to him, the abilities and strength and grace available to him in fulfilling that purpose as well. So, you know, many people are like Paul today in the church, and who prioritize serving the Lord over knowing the Lord. And this is why it's important that after you're saved, discipleship is very important, that you are discipled. And discipled means that someone is overseeing your growth. Somebody is, you know, following up on you to monitor your growth. you're accountable to somebody, you know, and they say that they end up, and but when people jump this step, when people just go from receiving salvation and wanting to just tell people about Jesus without taking time to go through discipleship and, you know, learning about the word of God, these people end up hindering God's church from advancing. They end up hindering God's church from advancing because they are usually too busy to pray. They're usually too busy to fast and read the Bible. You know, they're usually eager to minister to people in church. So if you're like this, you will struggle to have a productive Christian life and ministry, because you must pursue knowing the Lord intimately first before trying to serve Him. The good news is that, you know, Paul learned his lesson early in his walk with God, and he repented. He completely went off the scene to Arabia. 3 years, you know, after he fled from the Jews' persecution in Damascus. And it was in this Samaria, it was in this Arabia, that he actually got a download of the revelations that he shared with us in the epistles. Bible says in Galatians 1, verse 15, Paul was the one talking. He says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went unto Arabia and returned again to Damascus." You see, emphasis on verse 16. The goal of Christianity, God's ultimate goal, is to reveal His Son in you. And how will He reveal His Son in you if you have not spent time with His Son? If you have not spent time with the Lord, if you have not encountered the Lord Himself. And you see that Paul knew this early, and he yielded to that yearning. And he went into hiding, learning about the Lord, receiving an encounter from the Lord, understanding the revelation. You know, he was going through the books of the prophets, you know, the law, the Torah, the books of Moses, the Old Testament text that we have today. He was going through them, digesting them, and receiving the interpretation, the spiritual interpretation of these scriptures as they speak about Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And you know, he realizes that God wants to first, and he went to do all that because Paul realized that God really wanted first to reveal His Son in him, so that he can now start preaching Him among the heathen. You know, so the implication of God revealing His Son in Paul is that Paul will gain an intimate knowledge of the Lord, which will now, you know, be evident in his way of life, so that Paul will now be able to effectively minister the revelation of Jesus to the world. Paul went on to Arabia for 3 years, learning about Jesus from the Lord, and this season greatly transformed his ministry. But did you know that this pursuit of knowing the Lord did not leave him? It did not leave him. So you don't outgrow your quiet time. You don't outgrow quiet time. You don't come to a point. To come to a point where you outgrow quiet time is to come to the end. You know, you're not going to last that way in this life as a child of God. If you come to a point that you are now, that you are outgrowing your quiet time. To outgrow your quiet time is to outgrow the quest to know the Lord. So outgrow the desire to know the Lord. Philippians 3, or to outgrow the desire to build an intimate relationship with the Lord. Or Paul didn't outgrow. In fact, in Philippians 3 from verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." This is Paul speaking. "Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Did you know that Paul wrote this scripture I just read now, where he was talking about still this hunger for knowing the Lord and how he counts all things, his achievements, his degree, his wealth, his money, his affluence and influence. He counted everything as dung, as waste. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, he put everything as nothing. And then he humbled himself to know the Lord. He was still saying this thing. This was his heart posture after about 30 years of his conversion experience. And so this means that this motivation that drove him to go and spend 3 years in Arabia was still intact after over 2 decades of returning from Arabia. So when we sit with God enough in fellowship, he will reveal his son to us. Arabia changed Paul. Our quiet time, you know, is supposed to, like Paul's Arabia, change us every day. Imagine experiencing this experience that Paul had in Arabia every day of your life, where the scriptures are new to you. You open the scriptures, it's not just like you're reading a storybook, not like you're reading like a letter, but you're reading life. You are receiving understanding in these things. Imagine how significant and how magnificent the revelation of the Son would be, you know, in you when you know him, when you feed on the knowledge of him. Imagine how the revelation of him to the world would be through you. Imagine how much more freely expressed Christ would be through you when you know him so well. So quiet time, the purpose of quiet time is to instill in you a correct motivation for coming to the Lord, which is that he reveals Jesus in you, not to ask him for good things. You know, it's good to have good things, but that's not the primary essence of quiet time. It's not to come and ask for prayer requests, it's to come and be transformed, just to come and know him and meet him and really, really know him intimately. So it's not to come and receive power to go and serve first. Is to come and just know him first and let him, you know him, you also get to understand and know yourself better. You get a true sense of your identity. The only place where you will have a perfect understanding of your identity is in Christ Jesus, and you only have that when you spend time with the Lord. You have to sit with the Lord, you have to sit with him in heartfelt prayers, in Bible study, genuinely seeking. Can I just encourage you, if you are listening to me right now and you have not received Jesus into your heart, can you just receive him into your heart right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart as my Savior. I receive you as my Master. I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my Savior. I believe that you died for my sins and that you were raised again to life so that I will not have to die for my sins again. Pay the price. You went to hell. You conquered death and sin for me so that I can be alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you are here and now that you are saved, or you have been saved before and you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you right now that every child of God that has the Spirit of God in them, have the infilling of the Holy Ghost in them, can actually pray in the Holy Ghost, can actually experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They can start praying in tongues. Okay? And it's, you don't have to wait for it anymore. You can receive that baptism now. You can begin to pray in tongues right now. Okay? And that tongues, you know, Jesus said to the apostles, he said they should tarry in Jerusalem. He says, and they shall be, afterward they shall be endued with power from on high. He says that and they shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon them. And that is your reality. That's what you can experience. It is your reality already. It's just for you to experience it. Can I just pray with you? Say with me, I believe and I'm a child of God, and that the Spirit of God is in me. I believe that I can pray in tongues because the Spirit of God is in me. I can pray in the new tongues because the Spirit of God in me. And I will pray in tongues because the Spirit of God is in me. And I shall pray in tongues because the Spirit of God in me is in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Open your mouth. Go ahead and pray. Quiet and pray in the Holy Ghost because you have the Spirit of God in you. Glory to God. Pray. And if you are here, you already feel the Holy Ghost, can you pray right now? Pray for yourself that the word of the Lord that has spoken forth to you today, that has come to you today, that word ministers life to you, that the eyes of your understanding is enlightened to know the word of, to know the will of God, and to know the knowledge of God. Jamanda brakadabana brakadabash, shanta brakadana brakadabash, endo brakadabana brakadabash. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear God, thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for the people that have heard your word. Thank you for the people that have received your salvation today. Thank you for the people that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I receive for your people healing in their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. That many that are sick and are under the sound of my voice be healed in the name of Jesus. No setbacks for you, no delays for you. Favor of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you were blessed. If you would like to share your testimonies with us or request for counseling or prayers, or you have questions about what you just heard or other Christian subjects, or you just want to make more inquiries about Caris Folks, feel free to reach us through our website, carisfolks.org, or send in your email at hello@carisfolks.org. Jesus loves you.